Hello and welcome back to Awesome Audio Acquisitions, the podcast where I discuss all things relating to audio and music. I'm your host Dan, and on today's episode I have a special interview with a professor in the Audio Aesthetics and Technology Department at Webster University. So without further ado, let's get into the interview. So today, I am joined by audio engineer, producer, and owner of Red Pill Studios. Please welcome Professor Jacob Dietering.
Hello.
So, to start things off, I would just like to ask you first to tell me about yourself a little bit, and then more specifically, how did you get into audio and music production?
So my name is Jacob Dietering. I am a recording studio owner and a professor at Webster University. My introduction into audio recording started, I think, pretty much when I was a teenager. I had a friend of mine would drive to North St. Louis and rent an 8-track tape cassette recorder from a place called Dale's Music in North St. Louis. And we would do that usually twice a year. And we would rent it for a month, and he would keep it for 2 weeks, and I would keep it for 2 weeks, and then we would help each other do recordings. I was probably around 16 or so when I was doing that, and then my dad bought me my first recorder, which was a Yamaha MX-100, I think, a 4-track recorder. And I used that until, like, the motor basically burned out. So then I started kind of doing some studio stuff around that time, maybe a little bit afterwards. I was in a band with a keyboard player whose parents were kind of wealthy, and they actually booked us like legit studio time in a nice studio. And that was probably my first exposure to like a commercial recording studio. And then kind of got away from it for a while. I think I was probably around maybe 20. I had like a novel idea that I would like produce records, even though I had really no foundational understanding of what that even involved really, but it seemed like a cool thing. So so that was kind of my start. And then I started freelancing and kind of going that route. So
cool. Were there any specific artists or musicians or producers and engineers that really inspired you?
I think at that time I was, I wrote a lot of music too at the time. And so I think it was all the standard stuff. It was like Beatles and the Stones and Crosby, Stills and Nash and Neil Young and stuff like that. I mean, obviously all of the classics, like, you know, Led Zeppelin. I mean, all that stuff was like super big.
Cool. And then as a audio engineer and producer, what experiences have you had playing instruments, or do you still play instruments?
I do. I play everything a little bit. Guitar is my primary instrument. Play a lot of bass on records, a lot of guitar, drums a little bit, keyboards and stuff. I always had, you know, guitar was my primary thing, but I always had a pretty well-rounded understanding of music in general. And I think I have a pretty good ear for like harmonic stuff and melodic stuff. And so that's always served me pretty well. But guitar primarily, and then everything else kind of well enough to like fake it on a recording. If I can punch in enough, you know, I can sound like I'm supposed to be there.
Awesome. Cool. And then what would you say is your favorite part of being in audio and music production?
You know, I kind of feel like it's such a huge field. And I honestly think that part of the reason I like it as much as I do is because I just have always felt that, like, if I get bored, it's because I'm not engaged enough or paying attention enough to, like, just to the things that are there to think about. You know, it starts with, like, a great song, and that's a whole feel that you could spend a lifetime studying, you know. And then it comes down to, like, an artist singing the song or the guitar player playing the song. And what kind of guitar was the guitar player playing, and what kind of microphone was used, and what kind of amp, and where was the mic placed, and what preamp. I mean, it's just like this huge thing that is impossible to really like take in a lifetime. You know, I tend to be kind of like a student for life kind of person, so I think that would be it, is just that it's something that you could spend forever trying to get your brain around, and you've always kind of only like scraped the surface of, you know, what's there to understand. And I think that's compelling to me. It keeps me kind of motivated and always learning new stuff and always reading and trying new approaches. I kind of get bored and I'll change the way I approach something. It's more just for my lexicon and repertoire of ideas and equipment and approaches and how those things impact like what comes out on the other side, you know?
Yeah, I think similarly I decided to go into, you know, start a degree in audio and engineering and sound recording, because there is just so much that you can do with it, and there's so much that you can just constantly learn, and especially like as a creative outlet and just for artistic expression, there's just so much you can do.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you are a creative person and you're looking for like a sort of an intersection of creativity and technical skill, I feel like audio stuff is definitely a point where that those two things come together, where, you know, you can do great things if you're like an artistic person that has good aesthetic taste, but you're also a person that is technically adept at how to make all the stuff work and understanding where the sort of, you know, where the intersection of technology and technique hits with like creativity and subjective sort of art.
Yeah, cool. And then similarly, do you have any projects that you are most proud of?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think like there's just obvious things. Like I did a bunch of work on Bonnie Raitt's Decade Tribute Live record, mastered a big record that was mixed by Frank Filippetti by Carly Simon. So I've had a lot of like those kinds of things. But there's like a songwriter from New Hampshire named Amy Petty. I've done a bunch of records for her that I think are really some of the best that I've done. But man, I mean, so many. I think I've told you before, it's like, you know, at this moment, when you have a commercial room, or when you're like an owner operator running a room, like you have to be doing so much stuff all the time to keep your cash flow positive. I mean, so right now I think I'm working on maybe 6 projects or 7 projects all at the same time. And that's in addition to like the random little things that these are kind of like bigger projects. And so I always try to find one thing about everything that, you know, that I think is interesting, or that I'm, if it's musically not something that I'm super into, well, then I concentrate more on like my relationship with that person. And like, I, you know, I try to make that time with them special. And of course I'm trying to like make sure that what they want is what comes out in the end. If the client is really happy with it, then that's an accomplishment and something to be proud of, you know, or if they think of me fondly or refer someone else to me, you know, then it's like a success. It's like a win, you know?
That's really cool. Yeah, I think there's a lot of interesting psychological and like social aspects to music and audio that
absolutely
can be really special. Like, I mean, you don't have to be working with like, you know, the most fancy artist out there. You know, there can be a lot of special things about just...
Yeah, for sure. If you, you know, I think it takes a mature person on the engineering side and the producing side to realize that and to enable that, because it... On the flip side, you do see a lot of, I'm sure this is true in every field, but, you know, there can be a lot of ego and stuff on the engineering side as well. And so there can be a lot of headbutting between talent and the technical staff on how things should be done. And, you know, like my job, in addition to all of the minutiae, you know, did I print enough level? Is the artist close enough to the microphone? You know, how are these creative decisions going to help or hinder us, you know, downstream? You know, is it really appropriate for the engineer to sort of poison the creative well with like ill will and bad spirit? You know what I mean? And it takes a big person to kind of go, it's going to make everything bad. Like, why would I do that? So I think that's a good and important realization to make, you know, especially if you want to keep working.
Yeah, definitely. And then similarly, what would you say is like a really good piece of advice for someone who's just starting out trying to get into audio and music?
I think like flexibility. I remember like the first day of the 1000, we talked about how it's like really easy and common to kind of get settled on like something that you think you're supposed to do in the field of audio. Like, you know, I want to write songs. I want to, you know, whatever it is, whatever kind of tiny niche that you think that you're going to live in. And I think having flexibility early on and willingness to sort of absorb and commit to learning like a pretty vast array of skills and talents, so that when opportunities arise to monetize your education or your knowledge, that you're prepared to like do the work, you know? And I always tell people, you know, it might not be work. You may do the work and realize, wow, I really hate doing that work. And I don't care to get paid to do that work anymore. Right. Or it could be, I don't really love this, but I can tolerate doing this work. It pays well, and I'm in the audio field, and I can probably meet other people that are doing other kinds of audio work that, you know, maybe could land me in a different area of this business, you know, if that makes sense. But if you're too locked in and too focused and waiting for like this perfect
opportunity that kind of reflects your vision of whatever. And in my experience, you know, the path forward is very rarely like straight and to the point, and it usually is like pretty windy. So I think that's kind of what people miss that. So I think flexibility would be what I would tell people is like, learn as much as you can about as many different things. You know, again, this is, any program like this is broad in its scope. So, I mean, we're trying to kind of give you a bunch of like, you know, a bunch of different ideas and things to think about and kind of loose abilities and skills, and just try to get in somewhere. And the more you're exposed to it, you know, the more you'll be exposed to different parts of the business and different people. You don't really know where the path will take you, but, you know, the chances of connecting with more people in the field and doing more stuff, you know, is just that much better.
Yeah, awesome. I think I'm going to end it off there and just wrap things up. So thank you very much for joining me today. This was a very fun and very insightful interview. I really enjoyed this.
Sure thing. It's great talking with you.
So thank you very much. And this has been Awesome Audio Acquisitions with Daniel Soroka. Thank you very much for listening. All right, so before I completely end off this episode for today, I just want to take a moment to reflect a little bit on this interview. I think it was really cool to hear the perspective of a professional audio engineer and professor. And I think the biggest takeaway, at least for me from this interview, was that last piece of advice that Professor Dietering gave. I completely agree with the idea that it's just very important to have a very open mindset and just be flexible and willing to learn all different aspects of your field, you know, no matter what sort of industry you're going into. For example, if you go into audio and music with this sort of very adamant or narrow-minded sort of thought process of, oh, I only want to work with this genre of music, or I only want to be a recording engineer, or I only want to mix and master, or things like that. I feel like by limiting yourself to like one specific thing, you know, no matter how much you really want to do that, I feel like you're just going to set yourself up for failure with that sort of mindset. I mean, you might get lucky and you might be able to do that one very specific or niche thing that you want to do in your industry, but if that's all you do, you know, your opportunities are just going to be very limited. So I think it's always beneficial to always be learning, always get new skills, and, you know, keep adding tools to your toolbox in a way, if that makes sense. So having that flexibility, it just constantly opens up new opportunities, and I think that's very important for any industry and just life in general. Another thing I really enjoyed about this interview was I was able to gain a perspective of someone who, you know, grew up in a time where higher education for audio engineering and sound design, you know, didn't exactly exist back then, and a lot of engineers had to go through this sort of business ladder of starting out as like an assistant, doing all the grunt work and errands and cleaning studios, and it may have been, you know, years of assistant work before someone could actually get into a studio and, you know, work on projects themselves. I think this interview has made me even more grateful for, you know, being able to have an opportunity to go to higher education and, you know, learn from professional audio engineers in a studio environment within a university, and that I get to learn, you know, both analog recording and digital recording, so it's really cool. And finally, another thing that I really enjoyed about this interview was discussing a little bit about, you know, the social and psychological aspects of working in audio and music, and really just any form of art and media in general. I think it's just really special that, you know, you can work with others and collaborate through the creative process and technical processes of creating this, or getting this idea and then turning it into a final product of, you know, music or just some sort of art piece. I think it's just a very special thing. So, with all of that being said, I think it's time to finally wrap this episode up. So, once again, this has been Awesome Audio Acquisitions with Daniel Soroka. Thank you very much for listening.